Who said it, okay? Quote number one. We have nothing to fear but fear itself. Tell the person beside you who said that. Famous quote. We have nothing to fear but fear itself. Franklin Roosevelt. In the days of the Great Depression, I'm sure the person beside you got it right. Next one. Never, 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 never give up. Winston Churchill, absolutely. As he addressed a group of Navy graduates in World War II, who said, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Absolutely. You guys are brilliant. What famous person in our midst said, if you watch the pennies, the pounds will take care of themselves? Hillary Beef is the answer for that one. Godly woman in our midst who imparts much wisdom, much wisdom. Over the years, friends, I've taken a lot of parenting courses and really enjoyed it. I think investing in parents and families is such a wise way to spend your time. But if you were to say to me, Russell, what is the one saying? The one saying somebody said about family once, which stands head and shoulders above the rest. What's the greatest quote for parents about family? You know what I'd say? I'll take you back to a man at 110 years of age who stood before the nation of Israel. And the nation of Israel was very, very much a nation that said, we want God, but at the same time, in their tents, they had idols to intellectualism, idols to sexuality, idols to money. So he said, we want God, we want to serve God, but deep down, their hearts were divided, their tents were full of all sorts of nonsense. And Joshua addressed these people full of vigor, full of passion at 110 years of age. And he says, I know what you're like. You say you're going to serve God, but really you won't. You're double-minded, you've got these idols in your heart, idols in your home. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He faced a nation of people that were indifferent, said the right things, lived differently. Double-minded people. People that made promises but didn't carry through on them. And he said, I don't care what the rest of you do. I don't care what our culture says or what's popular right now. As for me and my kids and my grandkids and his day, great-great-grandkids, 110 years of age, we will serve the Lord. I don't think there's ever been a more famous, more impacting, wiser quote given for parenthood in the world of in history. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want to say to you, friends, that parenting today is not an easy thing. So many parents have been through rejection and it's not been dealt with. They've been through loss, it's not been dealt with. They've been through insecurities, it's not been dealt with. So when it comes to parenting the next generation, it's not so much about, I'll be the big person and do what's best for the little person. So often I see in society parents that say, I want to do whatever it takes to make little Johnny happy and love me more. I want to do whatever it takes to make little Mary happy and love me more. Instead of setting the standard, saying this is where we're going. Parents are saying, well, kids, what do you want to do? What would you like to do? You know, what will make you happy right now? Or in fact, what will make you love me more right now? Whole generation of beautiful parents. In our time, so many are wrestling with the issue. What's parenting for? And because their issues haven't been resolved, because they've been through so much, they're looking for the kids to give them security. They're looking for the kids to make them feel loved. And it's out of whack. It's not the way it should be. And parents are living to please the children when the children don't even know what's best for them. They don't know right from wrong. They don't know what wisdom is. But mum and dad say, well, what do you want to wear on this cold winter's day? Oh, yes, a nice light summer's dress. That'll be fine. We'll be happy in that, you know. And so it goes on. Do you want ice cream for breakfast? Oh, okay then. You have ice cream for breakfast. The neighbour's kids are staying up to 9 or 10. I know you're only 10 years old, but that'll be fine. Look, if that makes you happy, little Johnny. And that's what parents do in our generation. Beautiful people, good people, big challenge raising kids. But something's happened. So much has happened in the previous generation where so many of this generation of parents aren't setting a standard, aren't making a declaration, but are seeking to find their love, find their comfort, find their support in their kids. Now, who doesn't want your kids to love you? Of course you do. Who doesn't want your grandkids to love you? Absolutely. But in the process, we've got to remember who the big people are. In the process, we've got to set a godly standard. And I want to suggest to you, men in particular, that there's a generation of young people in society today that don't know what it's like to have a strong, godly role model that will stand up here like Peter and Dave did and say, man, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to be a conqueror. I'm going to face stuff head on and deal with it. I'm going to set a standard for my family. I believe kids today are looking for that. They're not looking for, what do you want to do, little Johnny? Whatever pleases you at school. What's your passion? Let's do that. They're looking for models that can stand up and say, you know, I'm setting a standard. I'm making a declaration. And me, like Joshua, I'm going to say, man, in my home, we're going to serve the Lord. There are kids of today's generation, teenagers, and I could tell you stories, but I won't for time's sake, where they're saying, I don't want to be told I can listen to any music, whatever, or watch any program or surf anything on the internet. They feel loved and they feel secure when the big people in their lives say, there's boundaries because we know what's good for you. And we want you to grow up one day, little one, to become a man and a woman of God who blesses the community and walks uprightly before God with a fear of God and a love for the Lord in your hearts. We're not going to do this. We're not going to watch that. We're not going to click on this. We're not going to be part of that thing that's popular in society right now. Why? Because I've got a vision for you, child. I've got a vision for you, teenager, to be a great man and woman one day. And it's going to take standards. And I love you enough to set the standards. Joshua was a great man of God, a man of faith, a man of principle. Didn't start that way. Remember in Joshua chapter 1, Moses has died. And God says, Joshua, you're the man. I want you to step into Moses' shoes. And four times God has to say to Joshua, Joshua 1, be strong, Joshua. Very courageous. At the end of Joshua 1, the people know that God's appointed Joshua to be their leader. They say, Joshua, will follow you just like we followed Moses. Only Joshua, would you be strong and very courageous? I don't think the journey of becoming godly parents, godly grandparents, is an easy one. I don't think it was easy for Joshua, a man of great influence. He needed encouragement in those early days, but the results were fantastic. And he said something, he set a standard that I believe has affected generations of parents for so long. Mum and dads, grandparents, do you want to see your children grow up with great character? Do you want to see them with strong marriages? Do you want to see them loving on their community and blessing their community for the rest of their days? Then you set a standard in your home. It's interesting, as a man of my age, I've had many, many relatives come and visit me at the various places we've lived in. And I said, look, not that song in my home. And, you know, no, we're not doing that program in my home. But the most challenging one has been people living together unmarried for years. The Bible says if you're living together unmarried, it's sin. And you'll have no part of the blessings of the kingdom of heaven. So when relatives come to my home, and I love them, you know, and they bring their partner of many, many years, I say, listen, you sleep in that room and she sleeps in that room. Why? I'm not being judgmental. I'm setting a standard for my home. I'm setting a standard for my household where I have an influence. And Juliet and I agree, as for me, as for us in our house, hey, in our home, God knows what's best and we're going to do things God's way. And the crazy thing is, when I've set that standard, God's often used it, not to get somebody angry or uptight, but to convict them of their sin and want to get right with God. Set a standard for your home. Determine to raise those that come within your walls in a godly way. Joshua's one-liner, as for me and my house, it's a great declaration. It's for me and my house, this is what we're going to do. This is the way we're going to live. But it's also a great expectation. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Not only did Joshua declare it as he stood in front of the whole nation of Israel, But he had a faith expectation that his family, that his kids and his grandkids and his great-grandkids would do the same as him, that they together would serve the Lord. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. The generation before Joshua's under Moses' leadership were not able to enter the promised land because they didn't have faith. Mum and dads, grandparents, we need to say, to expect God to start doing things in our families, even if right now it's not happening. The Bible says raise a child up in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. Even if you're not seeing it right now, you declare it, you pray it, and you expect it. Joshua expected his kids and grandkids to follow the Lord. He expected it. It was an expectation. Some marvelous stories in the Bible of people of faith with great expectation. You remember in Acts chapter 6, as Paul and Silas are worshipping in prison, the jail doors fly open, and they share the gospel with the jailer, a hard man. All sorts of addictions and violent behaviors, I'm sure, because that was the sort of job it was. And at midnight, there was an expectation that the jailer would come to faith, and his old household will do. Family, have that expectation that your kids and your grandkids would come to faith as well. One of the most remarkable stories of expectation is Noah. Noah took 120 years to build the ark. But 20 years before his first son was born, he built three extra rooms for his three sons and their wives. 20 years before the first baby was born, he's building this ark, and he's made three rooms for the sons that he's not yet had and their wives. Because his expectation is, on the ark of salvation, my kids are coming and their spouses are coming 20 years before they're born. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's an expectation. There's also a realization. Joshua doesn't say, as for my house, we're going to have a family conference about it. We're going to have a group meeting and decide kind of what we stand for and where we're going, who we're going to serve. He says, as for me. As for me, there's a realization. Joshua's going, man, if I'm not standing for God, how can I expect my kids to stand for God? If I'm not living righteously, how can I expect my kids to live righteously? So he says, as for me, I realize they're going to copy me. And it's true. If mums and dads are grumpy people, guess what? Probably your kids will be grumpy people too. If mums and dads are prone to gossip, guess what? Probably the kids will be prone to gossip as well. But a person can change that in a moment. When they make a declaration, when they make a choice, when there's a realization, I'm going to change because who I am will affect who my grandkids are dramatically and who my great-grandkids are even. A lot of parents say, oh, I want our kids to grow up honest. They need to see you being honest for that to happen. A lot of parents say, I want my children to have great faith. Well, then going to church and praying and serving God needs to become a priority. Not something once every second or third week, a priority. If you want your kids to have faith and your grandkids to have faith, then make fellowship a priority. If you want your kids to love the Word of God, they need to see you loving the Word of God first. What you do, who you are, sets a standard. King David was 16 years old when he slew Goliath. 16. He took a little stone and he took down that big guy. Interesting, when he's 70 years old and his kids and his grandkids are surrounding him on his deathbed, the Bible says all his children were giant killers. They were all giant killers. Where did they get it from? Where did they get this faith and this fighting ability from? How was it that what was spiritually in David was spiritually in his kids and his grandkids? It says in the Bible, all the mighty men of his household were giant killers. You see, what you carry for good or for bad can affect your kids and your grandkids. And there needs to be a realization. They're not going to become those great people, have that great character just by sending them to Sunday school once in a while or going to church once a month. They're going to become those people of God when you're living that life. When you're taking responsibility, when you say, as for me, I'm going to do it. It's going to start with me. The change will start with me. No matter what my parenting was like, what the parenting of my parents were like or my grandparents were like, even if I've picked up bad things from my family, it stops today. I make a determination that as for me, it starts with me. I'm going to live a lifestyle. I'm going to speak a way. I'm going to exemplify a life that will set my children up and my grandchildren up to be great people. Great people in society. Great people in the kingdom of God. Joshua chapter 7, we looked at nearly a year ago now. Achan. And I think it's one of the harshest stories in the whole Bible. This guy steals, he disobeys God and his family and his kids. Even the pet budgie, everything's stoned, it's wiped out. Why is that? Because what's in our DNA affects the DNA of our family, for good or for bad. That guy was taken out because God saw what was in him as cancerous and could affect the whole tribe, and it was taken out. What's in you? What do you want to be in you? I really believe God honors sincere prayer. I really believe that when people say, boy, I'm struggling with this stuff, I'm going to be like Dave. I'm going to be like Pete. I'm going to be a conqueror. I'm going to make a stand. This is the sort of life I'm going to live and exemplify for my kids. I'm going to set my kids up to win. God honors those commitments. Be a godly person today. You will reap what you sow. If you're being rude to your parents, guess what? You know, if you're a teenager or a young person, you're rude to mum and dad, probably your time will come. The reality is, our kids become like us, or we've become like our parents, unless a decision is made to stand for God and to serve him. As you know, Joshua's name is Hebrew for Jesus. Yeshua, Jesus, same name. And you and I have taken communion together. We've demonstrated that we belong to his whānau. We belong to his family. There have been people in the Bible who've belonged to Jesus and failed him many times. Now think of the Apostle Peter. Three times in 1 hour he denied Christ. He mucked up, he failed. And yet Jesus would turn to him and say, Peter, on the revelation you've got, Rocky, of who I am, I'm going to build my church. It doesn't matter that you've failed in the past, because you're dealing with a God that deals with new beginnings and fresh starts. It doesn't matter that you've mucked up in the past. If you today would say, oh, I'm making a declaration, I have an expectation, I have a realization, it starts with me. God can turn it around today, and generations will be blessed because of you. He's the God of the second chance. He's the God who loves us profoundly and gives us a new start. All around you today, friends, when you go into your workplace, to the kindy groups, to the hospitals or various places where you serve, people are going to say all religions are the same. All cultures are equal. It's not true. It's not true. The word of God is true. What God says about himself is true. You can be conformed to this world, or you can be transformed in the renewing of your mind. And if you want to be a person of influence that will influence those around you, then I invite you to stand and be like Joshua and honor your Joshua and say, God, I declare, no matter what my mistakes have been in the past, I declare from this day forward, I expect from this day forward, and I realize from this day forward, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Would you stand, please? I really felt as I prepared this sermon that I was to speak a blessing over you and pray for you and cut off things that have come down to you from your parents or your grandparents that aren't good. And thank God for the good things, the really good things you've received from your parents and grandparents. So I'm going to pray a blessing over you, church. And at the end of this blessing, just remain standing as we watch a video clip which just honours dads and blesses the fathers in our congregation today. Would you close your eyes, please? In the name that's above every other name, I pray for your freedom. Whether your parents were great or hard to live with, I pray that God will give you the ability to respect him for the good they passed down to you and forgive them for their failures. I cut off your life the negative effects of your mum or your dad's character. I break every chain of addiction, of anger, of rejection that's been passed down from your parents and your grandparents, so that you can go free and begin a new legacy. Together with you, I ask that the Lord will strengthen your resolve to fear him and honour him in all that you do. I pray that he would wash your mind with his word so that the beliefs and lives of this world would go, that you would know whose you are and what you can achieve with God's help. I pray that you begin to experience more and more daily the heights and the depths of the love of your Heavenly Father and learn to walk in his presence and favour. I pray that you would realise no one's a victim. You're not a victim. You're a child of your Heavenly Father, a co-worker with God in raising up a new generation of world changers. I pray that for each of you and for myself, that today we would renew our commitment to make a stand for our families and the generations to come. I pray that we'd all be able to stand with Joshua one day and every day and saying, we're not going to serve anything else, any philosophy, any idol, any cultural thing. May history record that for us and our households, we serve the Lord. Would you just remain standing for this fatherly benediction as we close? Thank you.
And now, as you go into your world,
may you love your children, may God love your children.
May you find your identity in being a son of the only perfect Father.
May you make it possible, make it impossible for your daughters to ever find a husband
as good as their dad.
May you teach your children that their mother
is the most beautiful woman alive.
She's really pretty.
May you risk more,
worry less,
and play hard. May you lead your family not as a king, but as a servant
who protects their hearts.
May you laugh at the little things.
And finally,
may you lay down your life
for your family.
And may you introduce them
to a God that's already done that exact thing.
We hope that you have a great day today.
Have a great day today.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
Please, your family, please stay for lunch. Great to have your fellowship.